far we would go. And I remember a lot of times we would get out there and we'd be playing army or cops and robbers or whatever we were doing in the woods, me and a dog. And I remember all of a sudden Butch would stop. And he'd lift up his head and his ears would pop up and he would look back toward home. And then all of a sudden Butch would take off running. And just because I didn't want to be left in the woods of Nakipoo, I took off running too, not knowing where we're going. And we would run and run and run, and the closer we would get back toward home, I all of a sudden could hear it. I could hear my mama yelling, "Mike, where are you? We got to go." I can still remember all that. And I guess that's where the joke, my daddy used to say all the time, he'd say, "If you want Mike, call the dog." And for so many years of my life, I thought my daddy was calling me a dog. But now I get the joke. And it was so funny that the other night, he didn't even know that I was preaching on this. He made a comment to Jackson and JR that if you ever wanted Mike, you'd call the dog. So I just thought that was great. I actually shook the boys. I said, "Listen to what he's about to say." But old Butch, I was thinking about old Butch. Old Butch was such a good dog. When we lived in Nakipoo and Daddy moved me up into the city life, you know, Halls, Tennessee. Butch left from Nakipoo. When we moved from Nakipoo to Halls, which is 15 miles, I guess, Butch didn't like the city. He went back to where we used to live, and that's where my daddy and mama found him. Butch was a good dog. Butch could always hear my parents' voice when they started calling, you know. Butch, he'd pin back his ears, and he'd come a-running. So when we hear the voice of God, do we come a-running? Do we say, "Here I am, Lord"? Not always. See, sometimes we try and hide. Sometimes we actually run to the wrong voice. And sometimes we run to something that we don't even know we're running to. But God calls us and asks us this question, "Where are you?" And it's in Genesis 3:9. It says, "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" Let us pray. Father God, as we start to open up this question, God, as we start to look into your word, and God, start to examine our own lives, Father, may I decrease, may you increase, may I be nothing, may you be everything. God, may your word touch somebody like it's touching me, God, that's moving through me. God, let your word today remove all obstacles from somebody finally seeing you as who you are, a loving God that loves them more than anything in this world ever could. Father, let it, for that one that has God, that has accepted you as Lord, Father, let it move the trash and the junk of this world so, God, they can stand up one day when you ask, "Where are you?" God, they can stand up and shout, "Here I am." And so, Father, just take this message, God. Take your word, God, and let it be spoken on high. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. "But the Lord God called to man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" See, when we hear God calling, sometimes we want to hide. Now, I will never teach or I will never preach assuming that everybody at the sound of my voice knows the Bible and has read the Bible. I've been slapped too many times by people saying, "Where is the book of Genesis?" So I never want to be that guy that doesn't give you a little bit of context and be that guy that says, "Well, we all know where we sinned in the Bible." No, some people don't. Show me and I would love to read it and learn a little bit about it. And so allow me, give me a little bit of grace here. And let me set up Genesis 3:9 with a little bit of context, all right? So if you go on back into Genesis 2:15, you read that the Lord God took the man that he had just created and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in that day of it, that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" Now, right after this, we read that God made woman. And let me give you a little side note on that, ladies. That guy that always says you're the reason that sin is in this world, you can look at him and say, I wasn't even made yet when God told you don't do that. You got like secondhand knowledge. So you can look at that guy and tell him that. But we'll eventually read on in Genesis 3:6 that the woman took the fruit and she ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. So for you to understand Genesis 3:9, you need to understand before that. And before that, they did the one thing that God said, do not do. They sinned. They gave in to their desires and their needs and what they want. They did the one thing he said, do not do. And right after that, we read in Genesis 3:8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Have you ever done anything wrong and tried to hide from your parents? I have. And I'll go ahead and tell you this right now. They didn't come up to me walking in the garden of the cool of the day. They sound like a freight train yelling my middle name coming after me. And I think that's funny, and I think that's amazing to read, because it says, you know, that God knew. God knew that they had sinned. He knew they had done what they'd done. He actually knew that they were going to do it before they even did it. But yet, knowing all of that, God just comes walking in and says, the Lord God called the man and said to him, where are you? So somehow today, I want us to move through the shame that we have inside of us. I want us to move past the guilt and the pride of what we've done in our lives that is bad. Those moments that we're not so proud of and that we want to hide from a lot of people. And I want to get us to a place where we come up out of the trees when God calls and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, God, because yes, I am broken. Yes, I have made mistakes in my life. But God, you love me. You love me so much that you were going to die for me. And so the only answer I can repay that statement with is, here I am. God, we should be saying, God, I don't want to hide from you anymore. But God, I want to hide in you. See, whatever this world, it gives us troubles and problems and it makes us afraid. We should hold to those promises that are down deep in our heart of God. Because God is our immovable hiding place. He is that I like to call my special fortress sometimes. Whenever life overwhelms me and he allows me to run to him. But for some reason, we know that the devil in this world is coming up against us on a lot of things. And we as a church, we do two things. And in fact, I kind of preached about this a couple months ago. It's actually in the sermon that you have in front of you. That's the wrong one. That's the message I preached from. And in that sermon, if you just want to have a good time, go to point two and fill in the blank with wait. But I talked about in that sermon that we try, right? We try and fight the world without the help of God. By saying, no, God, I got this one. No, God, I can do this. Just let me go. And meanwhile, God's just saying, all right, go ahead. I'll still be here when you turn around. And then some of us in the church, well, we just try and hide and hope that the problems of this world will just pass us on by. And that is not what Scripture says at all. Psalm 31, 1 through 5, listens to this. It says, in you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me and rescue me speedily. Lord, be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net that they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God, my deliverer. Think about those words. Close your eyes and just listen to these words. My deliverer. My rescuer. My refuge. My fortress. My rock. My protector. When was the last time you ever thanked God for being those things in your life? When was the last time you could open your eyes? When was the last time you said, God, I don't want to hide from you anymore. But if I must hide, God, let me hide in you. Back to that story I told you about Butch. See, when Butch heard Mama's voice, Butch didn't hide. Butch pinned back those ears. He went a-running. Speaking of running, which I do a lot of, this brings me to my next point. See, some of us hear a calling, but we run to the wrong voice. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 3, and we're going to start in verse 4. So that's 1 Samuel 3, verse 4. But once again, if you'll allow me some grace to give some context to what's going on here. In this verse we're about to study, the next few verses, you're going to read about a guy named Eli and a guy named Samuel. Eli is the prophet of the land, and Samuel's a young boy. See, Samuel is the answered prayer of a woman by the name of Hannah. And see, Hannah was married to a man who had multiple wives, and every wife had children, but Hannah did not. And so Hannah wanted one thing more than anything else in this world. And that was a child. But I think when we read through the scripture, she just wanted to be called mom. But year after year, Hannah would go up to the temple of the Lord with her family, and she would pray and she would fast for this child. And then one day, Hannah, she makes a vow to the Lord. And it's in 1 Samuel 1:11. Just listen to this. It says, O Lord of hosts, if you will look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall ever touch his head. And she vows that to the Lord, and she prays that if you give me a son, God, I'm going to just give him back to you. And then Eli, while she's praying this, the prophet Eli, he is sitting there and he thinks Hannah's drunk. Because she's just sitting there praying and only her lips are moving and no words are coming out. But we read through scripture, she's not drunk, she's just troubled. She just wants this so bad that she's just sitting there pouring her soul out to the Lord, and Eli sees it. And we go on to read that the Lord remembered Hannah's prayer. And actually, chapter 1 will finish with Hannah after she has her son. She remembers the vow she said to the Lord. And as the scripture says, she lent him back to the Lord. And I think that's key to understand that, because this is Hannah's Samuel that we're about to read about in some years later. This is a Samuel that if we look into the future, which we know it's not, but if we will look into the future, this is a Samuel that's going to anoint the first two kings of Israel. Saul. And this guy you might have heard of called David. This is the same Samuel. And I wanted to give that setup, that context for this next verse we're about to read, because I want you to know, from a young man that was destined to be in the house of the Lord, that was prayed for and was given and vowed and it all, just all that, and God said, and she said, here, to the Samuel that will one day anoint kings. There was a time in Samuel's life he ran to the wrong voice. 1 Samuel 3, 4. Suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel. Oh, wait a minute. I read that wrong. I don't want my youth to get mad at me. All right, somebody grab Kendall. I'm about to yell. I don't want to scare her. 1 Samuel 3:4. Suddenly the Lord called out, "Samuel!" "Yes," Samuel replied. "What is it?" He got up and he ran to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I did not call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." And so he did. Samuel ran to the wrong voice. We listen to the wrong voice all the time. The voices in our head, well, there are many. And they come from the society and the environment that we live in. Some of those voices are loud and unrelenting. And those voices come from our family and our friends and our colleagues. But some of the voices in our head, well, they're just consuming. And those voices come from social media and TV and music. But all of those voices, well, they come through those openings in our head that we call ears. And we somehow think that we've got to try and sort through this junk inside of our head. We, for some reason, think it's up to us to try and find balance and the correct solutions for the problems of our life. And the sad thing is that we got so much trash in our head that we cannot actually hear the voice of the one who is calling us, the one that will help us, the one that will guide us, and the one that will protect us, which will cause us to be like Samuel and run to the wrong voice, which is normally the voice of this world. So how can I, Mike, how can I tune through the voices of this world and tune into the voice of God? Well, I studied on it, and I looked at it. I tried to think back into a time in my life, a time that I could actually hear the voice of God and what was going on in my life. I actually tried to remember back just 10 years ago when I did not know the Lord. And I asked myself, well, what in the world was I listening to then? Well, I was listening to the voices of the world. But I knew, if you ever heard me before, I knew, even though I did not know Christ as Lord and as Savior, I knew, though, that there was something off in my life. Because I knew there was something more than this never-ending circle of life. I knew it, but I didn't know what I was looking for. And it wasn't until someone offered me a game-changing moment. Somebody invited me and my family to church. And I remember sitting in that church, and I remember sitting in that chair, and buddy, I'll go ahead and tell you right now, I questioned everything I heard. Who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus you keep talking about, you keep shoveling down my face? Who is this Jesus is what I kept asking. And whoever he is, how in the world can he forgive me for everything I've done in my life, that I'm doing in my life, that I'm going to do in my life? How in the world, somebody told me to read Matthew 5:14. How in the world, since I'm Southtown Simple, raised in Nakipoo, how in the world can I read, "For you are the light of the world, that like a city set on a hill that cannot be hid"? I'm very simple, so when I read "you," I'm assuming it's talking to me. How in the world am I the light of the world? I'm not even the light in my own home. Why does he love me so much? So much that he would die for me. In November of 2010, I was driving to Nashville, Tennessee. It was about 4:30 in the morning. I was inside of a black Chevrolet truck, stepside. I had just turned off 51 Highway, and I was turning onto that road that leads from 51 to Gates on my way to 412. I was listening to the song "Born Again" by the Newsboys. At 4:30 in the morning, inside of a black truck heading to Nashville, Tennessee, I gave my life to Christ.
And suddenly, I heard God say, "Here I am. I am what you have been searching for, young man. And the best way I've found, and I'm a South Town simple boy raised in Nakipoo, but the best way I have found to hear the voice of God is that I had to become a child of God." And Scripture teaches me this in John 10:14. It says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them in also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd." Amen. And John actually goes back into it again in verse 27. He hits on this topic one more time. He said, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one can snatch away them away from me." John says, or the Lord says, "I know my own sheep. I just know them." And one of the greatest things in my life, it's knowing that God knows Michael Lynn Milner Jr. God knows my name. And knowing that, God helps me. God helps me sort through those voices in my head. And I'm not crazy, kind of. But God helps me sort through those voices. Because when I accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside of me. And He starts to help remove this and remove that. He starts to put up guardrails here and guardrails there to keep me in straight and rolling through there. He works inside of me so that I can hear Him who's calling me. So that I can run not to the wrong voice, but I can run to His voice. Back to that Nakipoo memory. Y'all go hear Nakipoo a lot today. See, Butch knew the voice that was calling. He knew the voice of my mother. He knew the voice of my father. And when he heard that voice, he come a running. And I followed him, not knowing where I was running. Which brings me to my final point. Sometimes we run to what we do not know. Look back at 1 Samuel and we'll look at 3:6. It says, "Then the Lord called out again." Right, Kendall? Here we go. "Samuel!" And Samuel got up and he went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you, my son," Eli said. "Go back to bed." Verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. Samuel did not know. He thought he knew who was calling, but he did not know. Church, I'm coming at you. Do you know? Do you know who's calling you? Do you know the Lord? Because I promise you, there's someone in this room, from my left to the right, from the front to the back, at the sound of my voice, who has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. And I will never stop searching for you. There's someone in here that does not know Him, and that's with a capital H. And that's okay. You're the reason I get up here and look silly crying all the time. I actually should give back my man card sometimes, but I have no idea where it's at. But I want you all, I want that person that does not know Him as Lord, I want you to know the Lord that I know. I want you right now to feel that knock on your heart, like something's knocking and you can't explain it. Well, let me have a few seconds to explain what that knock is and who's on the other side of that knock. His name is Jesus. And He's saying, "I want to come in. I want the relationship with my creation." Question is, will you let Him in? How do you do that? You admit you're a sinner. You believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins and God raised Him from the dead.
and you confess him as Lord. Because Romans 10:9 tells us that if we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let me give you some advice. If you're sitting there and never have done that in your life, let him in. You don't need me. You don't need Nate. You don't need Alan. I did it in a black Chevrolet truck at 4:30 in the morning, knowing something was off, and I found out who it was. You can do that right in your seat right now. There's another person in this room that has accepted him as Lord, but you have forgotten what his voice sounds like. And that's also okay. You're one of the reasons I get up here and cry all the time. I worry about, here's my man card, blah, 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 blah. Because I worry about you, church. I worry because I see that what we're doing here at Mount Vernon, what we're doing in the kingdom of God, with my own eyes, I'm seeing us pushed, seeing it get pushed to the back of the to-do list. I'm watching with my own eyes that church is not a priority, that faith is not a priority. Everything else in life, that's priority. We just want this on Sunday. The problem is, God does not call you just for Sunday only. God calls you for every day of the week. God calls Samuel in the middle of the night. We only say, here I am on Sundays. We've got to get back to John 10:14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. We got to get back to that point where we can say, oh no, I know him. He knows me. I know him. There's nothing between us. It's just him and I. It's face to face. And to help us with that, and if we don't know if we're there or not, God kind of gives us a test in John 10:27. It said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. They listen to my voice. They follow me. Because listening and responding is vital in a relationship with God. And to prove that point, Samuel was visited one more time that night. One more time, Samuel was visited, and the Lord, this time it says God doesn't call from heaven, but it actually says in 1 Samuel 3:10 that the Lord came. You ready, Kendall? And called as before. Samuel! Samuel! And let me go back, remind you of the responses. Every time Samuel heard that, Samuel got up and he went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? But this time, Eli tells him, you know, that all those times Eli said, no, go back to bed. I'm not calling you, son. But this time, Eli has realized that there's a problem. That maybe the Lord is trying to call Samuel. So Eli takes a moment to prepare Samuel with a response. And that's what I'm trying to do today. I'm trying to prepare my family with a response. And the response that Eli gives to Samuel for the next time he calls you, it says, and the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel, here's the response. Speak, your servant is listening. See, God never hides himself from us. See, God has always wanted us to know who he is and where he can be found, because this was the coolest thing about this message that God laid on my heart. See, God is the original, here I am. And it's found in Isaiah 65:1. Listen to this. And if I get loud and excited, I'm sorry. Not really. But this is good stuff. He was the original. I was ready. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am. Here I am. To a nation that wasn't even called by my name. God was ready for us. But some of us have fallen asleep and we're not ready for him. We've got to get back there, church. We got to get back to a point where we must be ready to listen to what we hear, right? And be ready to act upon what he tells us. We must be ready to say, "Here I am, Lord," when God calls us to action. So in closing, where are you? Because the only thing that God has ever wanted from you is all of you. It's what Abraham said in Genesis 22:11. It says, "But the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.'" It's what Jacob said in Genesis 46:2. He says, "And God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, 'Jacob, Jacob.' And Jacob said, 'Here I am.'" It's what Moses said in Exodus when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see. God called Moses out of the bushes. "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." And this should be our prayer, because it's what Isaiah said in Isaiah 6:8. "And I heard the Lord, the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" So what is your response today, church? Because God has placed a calling not on Mike Milner's life alone. He's placed a calling on every one of you right where you're at. You don't have to be in ministry. Right at the place of work, right in your school, right in your family. God has placed a calling on your life. What is your response going to be today when you leave here? Because you're not going to walk out this door and act like you didn't hear a word I said today. You're going to walk out of here challenged. You're going to walk out here, God's going to work on you. I pray he does. Because God has placed a calling on everyone's life. And the application is this. The only thing that God has ever asked of you is for you to say, "Here I am." A few years ago, a young man sitting in the second row, first seat, walked up to Nath Osmond and told him, "Here I am." I can't explain it, but God is calling me into ministry. What does that mean? I have no idea. But that same man that walked down front here and took Nath and Mark by the hands and told them that man was once a boy. Born in Southtown, raised in Yankee Poo. His best friend was a dog named Butch. And Butch taught that old boy something that day. Is that when the master calls, you come a running. So I'm going to ask you to do something with those cards. If you want to join me. And you want to today, right now, answer God's call. I ask that you just hold them up. And you say, "God, here I am." Amen. So as we go into invitation today, don't sit on the edge of that seat anymore. Don't sit behind things and trying to hide. If you have a need in your life, you come. You come to the altar. You take me by the hand. You do whatever we need to do. But this is a time between you and God. So many conversations I've had in that line, they're like, "Great message, great word, great sermon. I was on the edge of my seat." This isn't me. This is God. What are you waiting for? What's holding you back? What's holding you back from not just holding that card up in the sanctuary, but actually walking out those doors and walking into your cars and walking back into your family? And God says, I want you to go talk to Dennis Chisholm. But God, I don't want to. And then you spend the next few years of your life with regret because I should have spoken to that man. I should have talked to that man. I should have talked about the gospel. I should have prayed with him. I should have loved him. I should have done... When I hear that you sat on the edge of your seat, all I hear is Mike Milner 5 years ago talking to Dennis Chisholm in the woods of Real Foot Lake. What's stopping you? So as we go into this invitation, this is a time for you to come down and say, God, I'm tired of hiding. God, I didn't know your voice before, but God, now I do. God, now I want to know who you are and what I can run to and what can be found in you. So if you have a need, you come down here. If he's not in your life as Lord, you come down here and take me by the hands and I'm going to dance with you. And I'd like to tell you about my God, and we can together, we can tell you how we can get there. But whatever your need, you just come. Hallelujah.